Welcome to What the Paper Said, in which I, Patrick Crozier, skim through the Times from 100 years ago, read some of the articles, and comment on the ones I find interesting. In this episode, the week ending the 25th of November 1923, well, if not election fever, then at least election diarrhea. Anyway, before that, a few of the other things that have caught my attention this week. In Germany, the Stresemann government has lost a vote of confidence. The reason, as far as reasons can be divined, is that the international socialists think that the government is showing favouritism towards the national socialists. This despite the government gunning down something like 40 national socialists only last week. In Munich, in the Beer Hall Putsch. Rudolf Havenstein, head of the Reichsbank and therefore the man responsible for the most famous, if not technically the worst, hyperinflation in history, has died. There was a report on the rebuilding of Ypres in Belgium, which was devastated in the war. Much of the old town has now been rebuilt, although there is still a way to go on the medieval cloth hall. I saw this in Saturday's Times. At Manchester yesterday, the stipendiary magistrate resumed the hearing of the charges of acting improperly towards two young women preferred against Boy McCormick, a well-known boxer, and two associates, Wally Meager and William Bolton. Acting improperly, eh? I have never heard of that charge, so I'm going to guess that it is no longer on the books. I wonder if it was abolished for the same reason that interfering with and annoying people was. Or at least I assume it was. That being that a lot of entirely innocent men ended up being convicted. See the Almeric Fitzroy case in previous episodes, starting on the 22nd of September 1922. Others have also been acting improperly. In Vienna. This is from Tuesday the 20th of November. Vienna University was ordered to be closed this morning until further notice as the result of serious demonstrations of an anti-Semitic character which culminated in numerous assaults on Jewish students. Calm had been reigning amongst students of all political parties ever since the early summer, and the University Senate had made it plain to the National Socialists that the demand for the introduction of the numerus clausus, that is to say, a limit to the number of Jews who may be admitted to the schools, was untimely and moreover illegal in Austria. You can't go around denying places on the basis of race. Who do you think you are? Harvard University? This morning, some 200 youths of the extremist German party, mostly attending the technical colleges, armed with life preservers, a life preserver, as it is euphemistically called, is a club, knuckle dusters and like instruments marched to the university and, forcing their way into the various lecture rooms, demanded that the professors should suspend work and ordered all the Jewish students to quit the rooms. Prime Minister Stanley Baldwin has decided to hold an early general election on the question of protectionism. He is in favour and has published an address to his constituents. This is from Monday the 19th. The unemployment and underemployment which our working people and our great national industries are now facing for the fourth winter in succession, on a scale unparalleled in our history, have created a problem which calls urgently for a solution. In our own home market, the bounty given to the importation of foreign goods by depreciated currencies and by the reduced standard of living in many European countries has exposed us to a competition which is essentially unfair and is paralysing enterprise and initiative. Drastic measures have become necessary for dealing with present conditions as long as they continue. The present government hold themselves pledged by Mr. Bonar-Law not to make any fundamental change in the fiscal system of the country without consulting the electorate. Interesting that tariffs are regarded as part of the fiscal system rather than part of industrial policy. He outlines the objectives of tariffs. To give special assistance to industries which are suffering under unfair foreign competition. It is not our intention in any circumstances to impose any duties on wheat, flour, oats, meat, including bacon and ham, cheese, butter or eggs. There is an elephant in the room here. Foreign goods are cheap because the pound is massively overvalued. It is overvalued at least in part because the British government needs to repay the loans it took out from America in the First World War, debts that are denominated in dollars. The decision by Baldwin to fight an election on the subject of protectionism has galvanised the Liberal Party. In 1906, they won a landslide on precisely this issue. Indeed, it was the last election they would ever win outright. Then, in 1916, David Lloyd George ousted Herbert Asquith as Prime Minister. The Liberal Party split, with one party led by Lloyd George and another by Asquith. But now they've reunited. The band is back together. Nothing can go wrong. On Wednesday, the Times reported on a speech Asquith made in support of free trade. Anything that restricted the flow or raised the cost of food or any kind of raw material meant two things. First, it would impair the purchasing power of the home consumer, and next, it would curtail our exports. It must inevitably create and multiply unemployment. It ruled out at once by far the larger part of our imports as beyond the scope of any sound or possible tariff. Mr. Baldwin said the home market was being sapped and undermined by foreign competition. Mr. Chamberlain, he means Joseph Chamberlain, leader of the anti-free traders and father of both Austin and Neville, told us exactly the same story 20 years ago. According to his version, most of our leading industries were on the wane and on the verge of extinction. They denied it and proved that it was not so. Their opponents seem to imagine, because there had been a great and terrible convulsion, the rules of logic, common sense, and practical experience had no longer any authority in the domain of trade. A delusion that will return stronger than ever after the end of the next war. Anyway, that's all for this week. I aim to have something up next week, but I promise nothing.